Lord, we just want to thank you for your presence here, that you are mighty in this place. Lord, I want to thank you for the reminder for all of us here that really our primary responsibility here and now is to listen to you. My primary role is to hear from you. And for each of us sitting here, it's to you that we need to tune into. So Lord, we thank you that you are here in palpable presence. We ask that you'll be here in audible presence, that you will speak to us individually, that whatever is spoken out here is just some kind of vector or pathway for you to directly communicate with us. Lord, we want an encounter with you this morning. And so we wait on you and we come expectantly before you to see what you have to say to us. Amen. So I read these verses a few weeks ago and they blew my mind. I can't say I understand what they mean fully at all. And it would be safe to say that about any scripture, wouldn't it? To say I haven't quite got a grip on this. But these verses, well, they recalibrated something for me. They just went, man, this thing is so much bigger than I've ever known. And they're verses from John 17. So Jesus is praying firstly for himself. He prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for the people that his disciples are going to speak to. And preach to the people who are going to come to know him indirectly, in a sense, via his disciples. It's never indirect, is it? But you know what I mean. But so he says regarding his disciples, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now, in first reading of this, that we may be one, your initial reaction is that we may be one, a unity together, that the 70 or 80 or whatever us are here can be one as the Father and the Son are one. That's the easiest and the least confronting way to read this. But as you read on, you think, no, maybe I don't think we've quite got this. I don't think that's quite what he's saying. He says, may they also be in us. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So may we be in him, so the world might believe that we're sent, that we've been sent. Sorry, that Jesus has been sent by God. And then it just gets bigger and bigger. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Who feels glorious this morning? Good on ya. Yes. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Oh, that's such a blessing. I didn't expect any hands, and so hooray, because this is honestly what an amazing thing if we could get to the place where we could say, who feels glorious? And in faith, we just go, yep, me. I feel glorious. Because I know I've been given glory. Glory beyond that which I know and that which I feel. I have given them the glory that you gave me. So the glory the Father gave to the Son, he's passed on to us. It's just mind-blowing. That they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. So Jesus saying, Jesus in them, as you, God, Father, are in me. So this unity is about our unification into that little gang, into that little group, that they may be one, that Jesus and the Father are one, and he's saying, I've given them the glory that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that we are in him in some way, of unity in the same way as the Father and the Son are together, we are included in that. Now, this just takes stuff to a whole new level. And as I'm reading this, I'm going, it's just like raises the bar so much higher in my understanding of where I stand with God. May they be brought to complete unity, unity with Him, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. So Jesus is saying, may they know that they are as loved as what I am by You, so that the world may know that You've sent Me. So it's essential that we understand how much we're loved, that we are loved alongside Jesus in the same way and to the same extent as Jesus is loved, so that the world may know that Jesus was sent by God. So any restraint we put on ourselves of accepting how much we're loved only gets in the way of how much the world understands that Jesus has been sent. Gosh, it's complicated, isn't it? But it's just, and so it's not so much that I want you to get a grip on this, except to understand, man, this is bigger. This is so big. That if you were comfortable where you sat, then this is going to make you realize, golly, there's so much more to this. It's so much bigger. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am, at the right hand of the Father, and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You love Me before the creation of the world. So, Father, I want those You've given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory. Man, what a goal. How reachable is this goal supposed to be? I don't know, but I'm just going to read it through from the start just as a single. So my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us, the Father and the Son, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Now, a few weeks ago, we had some baptisms, and Lydia, who's down the back there, hey Lydia. Lydia, in her testimony, said that she had prayed last year for God to give her a hunger for Him, a hunger for Him. And I just went, you know, that is a prayer that every one of us at any point in the journey we're in could be asking for more hunger for Him, more hunger for Him. And I was so touched by Lydia's, by the sincerity and the kind of deep simplicity of that request, and thought, man, we just so, so need to grow in our hunger. Our appetite really needs to grow at all times. And then a few days later, Julie speaking here about come and see, and me really having this sense during worship after that of Him saying there's so much more to see. There's so much more to see. So how do we get to see more? How do we grow in hunger in the way that Lydia has had requested of God? And I thought I'd put it to you. What are the ways that you feed your appetite for God? What are the ways that you have experienced Him, or ways that you approach Him that nurture your hunger for more? What are the things that, the practices, the experiences that you've had, or your regular disciplines or practices that increase your hunger for God? And the reason why I ask this is that I really feel like we could all learn from each other in this. about what we do or what we'd kind of long to do. And there are, I would suspect that virtually everybody here is more or less dissatisfied with the extent to which they pursue or the extent to which their hunger is nurtured. And I feel like, one of the things is that hunger needs to be super fed in order to grow. And I do wonder if at times what we need to do is kind of like feast in some way or other beyond our current hunger level. You know, I think of sumo wrestlers, you know, and how much those guys have to eat. And it must be almost a form of torture to have to eat that much, particularly when you first start out. But after a while, you'd wake up thinking, if I don't have three chickens by 8:30, I'm going to be starving, you know, because the appetite's been forced. And I kind of feel like in a similar way, I know for me what happened is I made a decision, I'm going to put myself in a place where I'm going to feed more than I feel like I need in order to stretch the appetite. And that was about 10 years ago. I made this decision, I'm going to push this. And I'm deliberately increasing my appetite. So yeah, wondering what kind of stuff you do. It's a really hard question. Not a hard question. It's a really quite a personal question, and I appreciate that. But in the spirit of something you say, very likely helping someone else, what do you do? There's some obvious ones, and there's probably some less obvious ones. Read the Bible. Read the Bible and study and pray. Yeah, I have to confess, I find reading the Bible as a starting point something I find quite hard. In that, I find that I love reading my Bible when I've got to a place of hunger. I don't find it necessarily, and I'm doing this in the spirit of confession. I'm not proud of this. But if I go straight to the Word and start reading, I often find it's like a blank page to me. But if I nurture myself into a place of a certain appetite, it lights up for me. And I say that as I say that just in case someone shares that experience, so that we're not afraid. Because I love the fact that there are people such as yourself, and I know some young people who just go, oh man, I go straight to the Word, and it's just like, you know, like filling myself with good stuff. And I know for me it's got to come in a certain place of within my nurturing. Anyway, anybody else? Jill. Right. Jill saying she uses the practice of contemplative prayer. And that's just kind of a sitting and waiting. Is it a silent thing or right? Yeah, in silence. Yeah, Anne. So Anne says that she worships, and that never fails to nurture her hunger. Yeah, Helen. Stay in touch with other Christians during the week. Yeah. Yeah, and people that you know have a hunger that challenges yours. And look, we heard this morning, thanks so much for your contribution this morning, Jen. We heard about that care group and the power of a care group like that, no doubt, to nurture hunger. And I know a few people who are in that care group and how powerful that's been for them. And we've now got quite a lot of small groups going. I'd really encourage you. Small groups are an amazing way just to hang out with other hungry people. Incredible way of doing it. Anything else? Christian radio station. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah. How recent is this discovery? Right. Okay. And what is it that you feel that gives to you? Is it the music? Is it the content? Right. Right, so Christian radio. I'm a bit like you. I go, I don't know how I'd go with that, but I'll give it a go. Any other... means by which, yes, Mrs. VG. Yes. Yes, to get to that place where we're living in response to him, that we can hear him and that we're and to be more conversant with that is our very hunger. You know, the very hunger we're talking about, to get to that place where we can hear what he's doing in any moment and respond, get on board with what he's up to. A couple of the ways that I really enjoy that are available to anybody. I quite like watching Graham Cook soaking videos on YouTube. I threw these up here just in case anyone wants to write it down, just in case it, you kind of go, oh, I hadn't really thought of that. Graham Cook, interesting British, amazing British speaker living in America. And he has these soaking videos. And soaking is a really great word. And I realize now retrospectively that soaking is what I really started to do 10 years ago, just to go into a place where I can just soak in his presence in whatever way, via contemplative prayer or via worship music or whatever, and just soaking is this great word. But he has these soaking videos where he has music going and he kind of speaks words of prophecy, prophetic words over you. It's really interesting. Also, I've put Bill Johnson up there just as my current favourite minister. One of the things I just think it's so amazing, we live in an era now where we can access really amazing speakers from around the world on YouTube or on their websites. And this has never been the case before, you know. This is a brand new thing. What an amazing thing to be able to do. And I know a lot of young people who listen to sermons. I go, how incredible that you have this opportunity to nurture. And so, I mean, is there anyone here, and it's something I'd really quite like to have in the buzz, is when you find something that you find really blesses you, that we just share that to say, hey, you know, if you're hungry, check this out. And to hear teaching from really trusted voices is a really great way to increase your hunger. Is there anyone else anyone listens to that, you know, and the point is not that we're endorsing this, because we all really have to practice our discernment, you know, of the spirits. And possibly this is something that all churches should be doing all the time. Everybody sitting here, we have to be prepared to discern the spirits that come our way. But is there anyone that people listen to regularly that they find really challenging and blessing, a real blessing from? NT Wright. Yeah, I haven't listened. Is there stuff on YouTube of his or podcast? Oh, because these books are amazing. Sandra? Jack Hibbs. Jack Hibbs, NT Wright. Timothy Keller. Yeah, Tim Keller. Yeah. Craig Rochelle. Robin. Right. Joel Osteen was the name said there. This is just if anyone wants to write. And I think it's really important that we share this stuff with each other to say, hey, you know, if you're looking for something, try this out. And it was a friend who said to me, I think in about 2009, have you read this particular book? Which was Bill Johnson's Dreaming with God. It absolutely changed my walk with God, totally changed it around. And had he not shared that with me, I'm not sure where I'd be with God, you know? So it's really fantastic if we can share this stuff. All right, so there's some ways. And can I say, I was praying over this yesterday, and I really felt the Lord say to me, for us to grow our hunger collectively and individually is the single best thing we could do for the future of this church. It's the single best thing we could do in preparation for whatever leadership issue is, you know, whatever we're facing leadership-wise. And as many of you know, there's quite a few unfamiliar faces. So just so you know, we're in the process of seeking a new ministry team leader. Got that right that time, first time. A new ministry team leader. And it's been, we believe we're safe in God's hands with that, but it's taking longer than we thought. But in terms of our preparation for that day, let's get hungry. Let's get hungrier still for him. Coming along to Sunday night services, and it's not that Sunday night services are better or otherwise than these services, but they're very different. And if you just want experience of something different, come along to Sunday night services. They will definitely stretch you. That's 6:30 every second Sunday night, including this Sunday night. So there's ways we can do this, ways that are available to us. Because in the chapter before the verses that we just read in John 17 is this verse in John 16 that kind of makes me mourn a little bit, that Jesus says to his disciples, "I have much more to say to you, but more than you can now bear." More than you can now bear. And I'm so astonished by this idea of Jesus saying, I have to withhold stuff because you can't bear it yet. And I'm going, okay, Lord, how do I teach me daily to get to a place where I can bear some more? I want to carry more than I carry. So show me how. Lord, I just want to be stretched every day so that I can get to that place that I'm bearing more than I do now, always knowing that there's more than I can bear. And then there's these amazing verses from Exodus that I think illustrate something more of this journey of hunger, of incremental growth, of like learning a new language. You know, Theo got us all doing Duolingo, learning Italian last year, and I'm the biggest failure in the family so far. One daughter can't be told she's a failure because she didn't take it up. The rest, but four others took it up. And man, it's a slow thing learning a new language, isn't it? Like, it's just cripplingly slow. And you feel like I'm never going to get sufficient command of this language to be even useful to me. But it's so much of our walk with God. Thank you. So much of our walk with God is very much like that. When the Israelites are standing on the brink of walking into the promised land, God tells them it all belongs to them. It all belongs to them, but they're yet to appropriate it. They've got this huge land spread out in front of them. And I'm very much been implanted with that image of me standing, you know, a few rows of hills into this land and looking into the distance, and there's mountain peak after mountain peak after mountain peak ahead. It's very C.S. Lewis actually thought this notion of the hills as you're standing looking out over this land that has been given to me but I've yet to appropriate. And at one stage I was in New York and staying in this hotel a few streets back from Central Park. And I'm standing there on this floor-to-ceiling glass looking over this incredible landscape. And the Lord kind of said to me, it's weird to me that when you hear that you've been given this land for you to appropriate, you think of it in pastoral terms. You think of it like rolling green hills, as the promised land must have looked to the Israelites. But he goes, it could just as easily look like this city landscape that belongs to you, and there's an infinite number of corridors and doors and rooms that all belongs to you. Get out there and explore this. You know, get out there and appropriate that which belongs to you. There's rooms filled with amazing food. There's rooms filled with amazing concepts and thinking and creative ideas. There's rooms filled with every blessing you can imagine, and it belongs to you. It's all been bought for you, but you're yet to appropriate it. And I love this vision that that God says to the Israelites in Exodus. He says, "I will send my terror, God's terror, ahead of you, and throw into confusion every nation that you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you." I mean, what on earth does that mean? It's like, you know, great big buzzing bees in my mind. "I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the hives." That was an autocorrect. It's Hivites. It must have got the hornet and decided I meant hives. The Hivites, the Canaanites and Hittites out of your way. But how about this? but I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. And I think this is so amazing that he says, I've given you this land. It's currently occupied. It belongs to you. You've got to go and appropriate it. But there's stuff that there's going to be hurdles in your way. I could clear them out, but if I did and you were not yet ready to appropriate it, what would come in would be harder for you to overcome than what's currently there. Now, it's really hard to know within an analogy of our appropriation of God's land of blessing for us, what this actually looks like. I've heard it said that some people see that as a church, say, the land that we are here to occupy may be filled with enemies, but if those enemies were cleared out, the carnal stuff that could come in from our own, because we're not big enough and yet ready for this, the carnal stuff that we could fill that with could be worse than the enemies that... So I just throw that as a possible interpretation, but I don't necessarily see that as the full meaning of this. But I love the fact that he's saying, I will not drive out everything ahead of you, because the land will become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. And then this is the verse that, this is the pivotal one. Little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Until you have increased enough to take possession. So the land belongs to us, but we have to expand to fill it. So I see myself as a spiritual sumo, you know. I've got to get big in order to fill this space, so to speak. But I'm hungry to get there, to this place. I even my hunger will only drive it out little by little. It's never going to be a thing where suddenly the land ahead of me that all of these enemies fall. In every case, it's about the little by little. But golly, I want to make that little step today. And I want to make that little step tomorrow. And I want to make that little step Tuesday. Because only by doing that can I get to this place where I will have increased enough to take possession of the land. So if we could have the worship band up here, please.